Hello and welcome to another episode of Diary of the Madman, the ultimate Ozzy Osbourne podcast where we geek the fuck out about all things Ozzy and all things Ozzy related. Just like before, I am Josh Crum and he's Mr. Dan Drago. How's it going, Dan?
What is up, Josh Crum, dude? We are back, baby.
I'm back. You're back. So yes. Glad to be back, man. This is awesome. So how's things been?
Not too bad. It's been crazy and it's just great seeing your face, dude. It's been way too long. I mean, just so the listeners know, Josh and I have stayed in contact pretty much every day during this. You know, first things first, there's no beef going on. There's nothing like that. I have nothing but love for my brother. It's just been life. And we're going to get into it a little bit detail why we took a little bit of a break. And first and foremost, we want to thank the listeners for staying by our side, being loyal and asking about us as people and as a show. So guys, thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts.
Yeah, absolutely. We're getting messages all the time wanting to know where we're at, when we're coming back, why are we finished? And like Dan just said, there was never a beef. It's just life gets in the way, things happen. And we always knew the show wasn't finished. It was just a matter of when can we get back to it? And now's the time to get back to it. And we're excited as hell to finally do that.
Well, should we tell them the truth, Josh? You know, there's the real reason why we took a break.
Yeah, if you want to, it's up to you, man.
All right. So the truth of the matter is Josh and I have been in California extensively trying out for the new Ozzy project, who will be playing guitar for the new Power Trip show, man. I cannot fucking wait.
I can't wait either, man. It's down to me and Dan. He's a way better shredder than I am, but I think I'm a little bit better on the rhythm. So I don't know. We'll see which way Ozzy wants to go with it, but it's going to be one of the two of us.
And that's been the real beef. I just can't look at him in the face. No, all right.
Fuck that dude, man.
Here's the truth. Actually, I died in a car crash and Josh has had to take 7 months to find a replacement that sounds and looks like me. And if you play our last three podcasts backwards, you'll be able to hear some backwards messaging talking about how I'm not really Dan. I'm a fake Dan.
All the hints are there.
All the hints are there. Yep. Absolutely.
Just like the fake Paul McCartney and the fake Undertaker. It's there. I mean,
that's right. Conspiracy. All right. In all real honesty, here's the truth, guys. I struggled a little bit. I was in between jobs. I had left my job and I just found a new one and I was out of work for about 3 months. And it's all on me. Josh has been very kind and supportive and wanting to get the show back going. I just had to get a couple of things squared away in my life and I am there 1000% and I am ready and focused to be doing our podcast again.
Yeah, man. And we're glad to have you. And to be fair, I've had a lot going on also. I've switched jobs myself. I just started a new job today. So it's not like I've had it. Yeah, I've been waiting for Dan, but at the same time, like giving him this time. But at the same time, I've had a lot going on also. So it's kind of nice to have a break for me also to be able to get my life restructured at the same time. So it's not all on you, man. It's on the both of us. Life happens. And I think our listeners understand that we've been pretty open from the start that we do this as a fan project. We love it. We do it out of our passion for the Ozman. And we do not want it to ever become a chore. So that's the main important thing for both of us that we've discussed. It will not be a chore. So we do it when we get time to do it. And I think all the listeners understand that.
Well, we can't wait to get back in. We're going to talk a little bit about some Ozzy news. And we're going to continue on with our patient number 9 breakdown. And today's episode will be about 1,000 Shades. So why don't we go ahead and hit some news, Josh? Why don't you start us off with maybe some of the big things happening in the land of Ozzy?
Yeah. And since our last episode, which crazy enough was like 7 months ago now, which that's just unreal. I mean, time is flying by. This is crazy. There's not been a ton of Ozzy news, but there's been a few moments hit and miss that I do want to embark on and discuss with you briefly. One, the one I find the most important and awesome is some photos leaked of Ozzy walking without a cane for the first time in 3 years. Hallelujah about that, right? Like, that's fucking amazing. That was the best news of any of it. Like, absolutely tickled to death. I was at work showing people who don't give a flying fuck. I'm like, look, Ozzy's walking without a cane. Like, they give a fuck. But awesome. I'm like, no, you don't understand. That's a huge deal. I mean, when you have a cane everywhere you go for 3 years and all of a sudden you're walking without a cane, that's a massive fucking deal.
Absolutely. And you can tell that he has just put so much effort and heart into getting back to walking. And we'll talk a little about this when we talk about Power Trip. But the truth of the matter is this guy wants to get back on stage more than anything in the world. And you could just see that on his face. And I'm rooting so hard for the man.
It makes me seethe when people are like, Sharon will fucking push him out there. And I'm, no, if you know Ozzy at all, he fucking wants to be out there. He wants to die on that fucking stage.
Yeah.
And there's no two ways about it.
Yeah. You took the words out of my mouth. I was going to save that for the Power Trip conversation, but you're 100% right, Josh. The truth of the matter is it's not Sharon at all. It's 1000% Ozzy. Ozzy wants to go out on his terms, not a medical term that prevents him from getting on stage and kicking ass. And if he wants to go up there and sit in a cool ass fucking throne and sing his songs, then he has every fucking right. And you got assholes out there, and I'm going to continue to say assholes, that say, is it going to tarnish his fucking legacy? Can you believe that motherfucker said that? And you all know who I'm talking about, but fuck that guy. Tarnish the legacy of the best fucking rock guy to ever walk the face of the earth, the guy who invented this, one of the four guys that invented this. You're going to say going out on stage in a chair is going to tarnish his legacy? Just think about how fucking ridiculed that is.
It's so fucking ridiculous. I mean, Dave Grohl did it. Axl Rose did it. Phil Collins does it. It's not the end of time. And, you know, you can choose to buy a ticket or not. And if you're not cool with that, you don't have to go. But to me, nothing's more metal than to say, I'm going to die on that fucking stage one way or the other. I'm all fucking aboard, man. Like, let's fucking go.
We could cut that down a little bit if I was a little too harsh.
I think you're fine. Fuck him.
You've been harsh on him before. Now it's my turn. So obviously we're talking about Ozzy coming back to the stage on October 7th in California at the Power Trip Festival. And first of all, what a fucking lineup, right? We got night one, we got Guns N' Roses and Iron Maiden. Night two, we got AC/DC and our man Ozzy. And night three, we got Metallica and Tool.
Fucking unreal.
Yeah, I mean, four of these bands are four of my all-time favorite bands, right? Ozzy, Maiden, AC/DC, and Metallica, right? Those four bands. I like Guns N' Roses a lot, but probably not the songs that everybody likes about Guns N' Roses. And Tool, I'm kind of ambivalent on, quite frankly. They've never really done it for me, but they're super talented. I mean, it'd be a great show to see. But what a fucking lineup, right, dude?
That's fucking unreal. And such a different take. You know, we don't want all this undercard. We're just going to bring you the six fucking biggest bands in heavy metal and just roll with that. I think it's a fucking killer idea, man.
I think so, too.
But unfortunately, we won't be there. But I'm still holding out hope for that Vegas residency that you and I have been talking about for 2 years.
Yeah, we'll see two or three shows if that happens back to back.
For sure.
Yeah, it'll be awesome. So to be honest, the one thing that bothers me, I shouldn't say bother, the one thing that I'm more concerned about than Ozzy sitting in a chair, because I saw Phil Collins live sitting in a chair and the show was fucking fantastic, is him lip syncing on stage. That would bother me and break my heart a little bit more. It's okay if he's got some background vocals filling in here and there, but I definitely hope and pray that his lead vocal is 100% live, unlike what he was at Rams Stadium.
Right. Yeah, I hope so. And I believe he will be. I don't think Ozzy would go for that in a true live environment. Of course, recording for television is always a little bit different, you know, like being on the Grammys or anything else like that.
Of course.
And you can understand that. I don't expect he would do that live. But, you know, another thing I want to discuss with you, do we think he plays any of the new tracks, any of the Andrew Watt era tracks live? So it kind of crossed my mind the other day. So Patient Number 9 live would be a bit tough, you know, with the outro and everything, the Jeff Beck solo and all that. But I was thinking, if I'm Ozzy, and truly what I expect from this performance is really just the greatest hits, what we always have known, comfortable set. But he could potentially do Patient Number 9 into Crazy Train just like he did at the Rams game. And that would actually be pretty fucking cool, right? You get a verse and chorus of Patient Number 9, then slide into Crazy Train. I'd love to see him at least do that much of it.
I do too. And I also think that he will do Degradation Rules. And I'll tell you why here in a little bit. But I definitely think Patient Number 9 and Degradation Rules will be played.
That would be fucking awesome.
And I have a theory why.
Tell us why. Let's go.
Well, it goes into our next topic. So, So, well, all right. So we'll kind of blend topics here a little bit. The best news since we've been off, for me personally, is Ozzy won 3 Grammy Awards. I know a lot of people, some people we've already mentioned included, don't give a fuck about the Grammys, but Ozzy does. I'm just super happy for the guy that he won Best Rock Album. Patient Number 9 won Best Rock Album at the Grammys, which is awesome because I personally think Ozzy's always trying to expand and break out of that metal, you know, label and genre, especially in his solo career. And I think it's great because I don't think necessarily that Ozzy is straight metal. He does have a shit ton of metal tendencies, though. And then, of course, he won Best Metal Song for Degradation Rules, which is a fucking burner. And he won Best Rock Track for the song Patient Number 9. So 3 Grammys for Ozzy. Hats off to a fantastic performance at the Grammys. It sucks it wasn't on television, of course, but Ozzy had to be over the moon. It sucked he wasn't able to attend.
Right. Yeah, it was fucking amazing, dude. 3 Grammys. And I think, like you said, we all had our hopes out for that Best Rock Album. Again, it breaks out of the shell. But on top of that, the Grammys, one of the bigger knocks I can have on them is that sometimes it's paint by numbers a little bit. In all honesty, Dolly Parton's probably going to get a fucking nomination next year just because she's releasing a rock record, right?
Like 100%.
It's going to happen. But when Ozzy won Best Rock Album, he fucking earned it. Patient Number 9 is fucking awesome. And it's been out for almost a year now. And we still haven't finished our fucking Patient Number 9 series. But that's besides
we're close. We're close.
But no, like, they earned it. They fucking earned it. It's a great rock record. No scrap tracks whatsoever on this fucking album. And it's a solid fucking rock album, man. I was so excited that he fucking won that one. And 3 in general. And like we've discussed on this show before, I feel like the more accolades Ozzy gets, the more it entices him to do more. So the more Patient Number 9 gets accolades and acclaim, the more he's ready to go work on the next one.
Yeah, so that brings me back to my point. We all know, you know, Ozzy won Best Metal Performance for I Don't Want to Change the World, and that's been in his set for 30 fucking years, nonstop. He thinks it's a classic song because of it, and I have a feeling Patient Number 9 and Degradation Rules will fall into that same category, and I do think that will play live for his live set.
Solid point. So yeah, let's hope so. And anything from Ordinary Man?
No.
He's kind of like moved on a little bit, hasn't
yeah.
he? I think he sees Patient Number 9 as a significant step forward from Ordinary Man.
It is. Honestly, it is. And we're going to do a battle eventually, probably between these two records. But, you know, I listened to both of them back to back today. And even though some of my favorite songs might be from Ordinary Man, overall, this record just crushes it. Overall, it crushes it. As a whole record.
And I want to say this again, speaking for me and Dan both, you know, when we left the listening party at SiriusXM Studios, we were like, oh my God, this album fucking crushes Ordinary Man. It crushes it. It crushes it. And we told you guys, it crushes it. And we've said it before on here, but then I started questioning myself, like, was it just hype being in the room with Ozzy and listening to it or whatever? But as time has played out, here we are 7 months later and it crushes it. There's just no question about it. It's a fucking great record.
The production is way fucking better. Hats off to Andrew Watt because it is so much better production-wise than Ordinary Man. I think that is the biggest difference. Ozzy sounds better. The guitars sound way better. It's just a brighter, more vibrant sound. And obviously all the guitar playing makes a major difference, dude.
No doubt about it. And the guests are the right guests. It all worked. Speaking of guitar playing, real quick, we got off topic a touch. Before we move on to today's actual topic, Power Trip. So in case the world doesn't know, Zakk Wylde has a gig that night with Pantera. So that actually brings up the point that Dan made earlier that he and I was going to play guitar for Ozzy on this fucking show. That's kind of the joke he's getting at. But Dan, it's a huge question mark, man. Who do you think plays guitar for Ozzy that night?
I think it's a combination of Gus G and Andrew Watt. That's my gut feeling.
You think so? Go with two guitar players?
Yeah, because Andrew Watt can come out and do Patient Number 9 and maybe some of those tracks. Or maybe he does both the whole time and lets Gus handle a lot of those leads because you know Gus can do it. But Gus, I definitely expect Adam Wakeman, Tommy Clufetis, and Gus G back. That would be my gut feeling and probably my preferred.
You could possibly have fucking Rob Trujillo on bass and Metallica's there the next night.
That would be pretty badass. Because I haven't heard anything from the Blasco camp. I mean, I follow him. He's such a great guy, too. But I have nothing about Blasco with Ozzy.
We've mentioned this before. We feel like Blasco's out.
Yeah.
It feels like Blasco's out. You know, when Ozzy made his last TV appearance, he had Chris Chaney on bass. It could be him again.
That's who I think it's going to be, Chris Chaney.
Yeah, very well could be. And he's an excellent player. But who's going to play guitar? Man, it's huge. Andrew Watt on stage with Gus G. That would be awesome. Joe Holmes has definitely been around a lot if Ozzy wanted to dip back into that bag.
Stop dreaming.
Joe's got an album coming out. One thing, too, that I was thinking about, it's hard to imagine he would do this, but they had talked about, until COVID hit, that they were considering doing a few shows on the East Coast and the West Coast with Duff, Ozzy, Andrew Watt, and Chad Smith, and just doing those songs. And Watt later did that with Eddie Vedder. Right. Where he just did New York and LA or whatever.
Which was awesome.
It's hard to imagine that they would do that for Ozzy's first appearance. But at the same time, we would love it because it would be mostly the songs from the last two albums. But it's hard to imagine Ozzy would go for that.
If that's what it was, I would find a way to be there.
Right.
There's no question about it. I'm expecting 50-60% Blizzard of Oz with Bark at the Moon and I Don't Want to Change the World thrown in.
I'm expecting about a 10-song set. Maybe an hour.
Yeah, maybe some Sabbath too, which always drives me a little crazy. Yeah. Truthfully, I don't want to see Sabbath when Ozzy's solo. You know, I know Sabbath's retired, but he's got to do Paranoid. I'll always stand by that. That is his trademark. But maybe War Pigs because it's so iconic, but I think that's it. Not even Iron Man. I don't think we need it.
Oh, I agree totally. Absolutely agree.
But it's pretty intriguing. Listeners, please let us know, A, who do you think is going to play guitar for Ozzy at the Power Trip Festival? And who do you want to see? Could it be Slash? Yeah. You know, Slash has done some dates with Ozzy.
Could be. Could it be Ozzy and Friends where they just have a fucking bunch of them come play different songs? And that could be like Tom Morello and some of those guys or that. Who knows? I mean, I could see them doing something like that too. Yeah. Now, speaking of a guy who's kind of got a stick up his ass that we mentioned earlier, has a radio show. He said several months back when they first announced Power Trip that his sources are telling him that this is going to be very Black Sabbath related. He was insinuating that Tony Iommi might be on guitar.
Oh,
And it could be like Ozzie Tony and maybe Ozzy's band and do a bunch of Black Sabbath. I mean, he didn't know, but he was kind of insinuating that he felt like Tony was definitely going to be involved. But that was also like 2 or 3 months ago when they first announced the show.
Yeah. It would be awesome if Tony came out and did 3 or 4. Now, if Tony comes out, then we got to do Black Sabbath songs. You know, right, then I'm singing a different tune. But if Tony is not there, then, you know, I'd rather just see Ozzy.
That said, seeing Tony do like Mr. Crowley would be fucking awesome, right?
It would be weird. yeah, that would be strange.
But no, but if you're doing Ozzy and Friends, that would lean to that also. Maybe Tony comes out and does 3 or 4 songs and then, you know, or whatever. So we'll see, man. It's going to be fun to play the waiting game on that and guess around on what they may do with that situation.
What are the chances? And I'm just spitballing here, guys. What are the chances that we have a full-blown Black Sabbath reunion for like 3 or 4 songs at the very, very end, and we finally go out with Bill on drums?
It could happen. Geezer's trying to promote a book.
Yep, I was going to bring that up next. Yep.
So, I mean, yeah, it could definitely happen. I mean, I think Ozzy wants to go out with Bill. I could see that. Who knows, man? We'll see what to look forward to for sure. Imagine getting Ozzy solo, Black Sabbath, and AC/DC in the same night. Shit.
Yeah, shit. And, you know, out of all those bands, I've never seen AC/DC. I've seen everybody else there. So it would break my heart that I still haven't. What a night. Ozzy and AC/DC. And I think Ozzy's going to go on first.
Yeah, I think so. I saw AC/DC once on the Rocker Bus Tour in Wrigley Field in Chicago.
Oh, that's so awesome. So I had tickets for their Stiff Upper Lip Tour and got fucking totally sick, and I had to give them away for free.
Nah,
and I think, which sucks. And then I never got back. By the way, Stiff Upper Lip, fucking underrated.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's a killer album, man. Yeah. I don't think it sucked about when I went. It was right after Malcolm. He wasn't dead, but he was sick. And he didn't tour with him. So it was Stevie on guitar, but
yeah,
it's all good.
Fuck, I love AC/DC. Yeah. I just read today they're talking about a new album.
And tour, right? So they're wanting to get busy. So I'm down.
Dude, let's do it. Fuck everybody else. These guys are rock and rollers. And just listen to this very clearly, this point I'm going to make. The only reason it seems odd is because these are the pioneers and they've gotten old. It doesn't mean old people still can't play music. I mean, people don't look at Frank Sinatra when he got older and Tony Bennett and Dean Martin and go, oh, they're in their 70s. It's weird. They're still singing. You know what I mean? But since they play louder rock and roll, people want them to step down. And it's like, fuck you. These guys have every right to earn a living and do what they love. If you don't like it, just don't go, like Josh said.
We've mentioned before in here, too, how metalheads are just so fucking fickle. But I mentioned Dolly Parton earlier. Country fans fucking adore her. Like, they think her shit doesn't stink.
My wife fucking worships Dolly Parton.
Yeah, and I love her.
Yeah.
But, like, why does the metal community feel that way with Ozzy? Why is, like, Ozzy needs to stop? He's fucking old. But yet Dolly Parton, like, she gets this big golden fucking pass for everything. I mean, it should be a similar boat, you know? Hell, Ozzy and Dolly for president. What the fuck? Let's go. I'd vote.
I believe it's the Osbournes, personally, is what really turned the metal community against Ozzy. Because before that, like through the osmosis and the beginning of Ozfest, they used to call Ozzy, oh, it's the godfather of heavy metal. And he was that lovable soul. And for some reason, the metal community turned against him.
Yeah.
And it doesn't help, too, with all of the stories about fucking this person or fucking that person over. And we'll eventually have a story about that. I mean, a whole show about that, because I think there's some holes in some of those accusations and some of them are very legit. So we'll go over that in a future show. Sure. But don't you think the Osbournes played a big part of that?
I think so. One of the best things about, you know, well, social media in general now, everyone's so open and you can, you know, you get a glimpse to the inside. But back in the day, the mystique was part of it, right? And Ozzy had a massive mystique. He bites the heads off of cats and spits them out, whatever fucking rumors were going around. And everybody's picketing his shows. And I think the Osbournes gave a glimpse into his personal life before social media. And it kind of tore down those walls for Ozzy before it did most other celebrities. And they kind of saw he really is just like a lovable loon. And not to mention, he was so fucked up during that show, over-medicated and so on and so forth. It was totally unfair. But I think that was kind of the difference.
Yeah. As listeners, if you don't remember, I don't watch the show. It's a little too hard for me to watch.
Yeah.
Honestly, it just is. So real quick, before we get started, I want to bring up Josh's band Downtrend released a great fucking single called Backroads, and I'm super, super proud of him and his band. I think it's my favorite song you've ever done, dude, to be perfectly honest. If you are a fan of Motorhead and just wanting to bang your head, it's a nonstop, relentless 2 minutes and 35 seconds of just awesome rock and roll. The production's fucking awesome. Great vocals, great drumming, and of course, Josh is stellar on the guitar. So, Josh, I just want to say, great job, man.
Thank you. He's making me blush a little bit right now. I didn't know he was going to say that. I do appreciate it. Yeah, it came out back in January. January the 4th, I think we released that. But yeah, it got some good headway, man. It managed to get picked up on all the radio stations here in the Kentucky and Southeast area and stuff. So we're very proud of it. And we're looking to go in very soon and do some more follow-up tracks. Honestly, I've written like a motherfucker. We might have an album's worth. So maybe the next one just be a full, complete LP.
That's awesome. I didn't even know that. So look at that. Breaking news on the downtrend front right here.
Let's hope.
That's right.
Let's hope.
And on my end, I've kind of pussified out. I'm doing a lot more mellower music as I've gotten older. You know, once you hit that certain age, that rocking has stopped for me a little bit. But I got some cookers coming soon. I've written about 28 songs in the last year. And I got my first one coming out June 16th. And Josh doesn't know that either.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I'm in a new band called Without Fear. And I'm super excited about it. And our debut single comes out on all downloading platforms on June 16th.
Awesome. Very exciting, man. Can't wait to hear that. And he typically sends demos by me, so he didn't this one. You see how the fucker treats me. He just, whatever, man. But no, I totally, Dan's been very busy writing all kinds of songs, and that's part of his hiatus also. He's very busy in the studio, and it's all good, man. I love it. There's nothing for me. I love doing the podcast, but I'd rather be in the studio recording music than anything on fucking earth. So
everything.
I get it.
Yeah. Besides spending time with my family,
course,
I have to say,
yeah.
I just got to state that. But yeah, I'd rather be in the studio. I was asked today, what would I do with $1 million? And my answer was build a fucking complete home studio and just write and record music all day.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right, man. With that said, enough bullshit. And you ready to get into today's topic?
Yeah, I can't wait to talk about this song. Fuck yeah.
Absolutely. So when this album first came out, I told you that my sleeper track was 1,000 Shades. And in the meantime, it's become a fucking big hit for Ozzy. I'm not sure how it's charted, but it's definitely the single. It's the one that Octane plays on SiriusXM and so on and so forth these days. But 1,000 Shades featuring Jeff Beck. So, Dan, what was your initial thoughts on this one?
Yeah, real quick before I tell you my thoughts, let's talk really quick about personnel and who the songwriters were, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
So, 1,000 Shades featuring Jeff Beck, like you said, it's written by Ozzy, Andrew Watt, Chad Smith, Ali Tamposi, and Ryan Tedder. Now, the metal community is going to lose their fucking mind on that one. But Ryan Tedder is an American singer-songwriter and record producer. He is the front man for the band One Republic. So definitely a pop vibe on this one, even though it's very Beatles, right? Personnel is pretty interesting. Obviously, we got Ozzy on vocals, Andrew Watt on guitar and bass, which is cool, and keyboards. And then you have Chad Smith on drums. And then, of course, the one thing I love about this is that all of the violins is like really tracked over at Abbey Road Studios. So you have live violin players and orchestration, which I think sets the song apart. So a lot of personnel on this track. I'm a sucker for the ballads. I think this one is solid. It's got some great melodies. It's got great guitar playing from Jeff Beck. I might even say that this is better than Patient Number 9 sometimes from his guitar playing standpoint.
I believe it 100% is better.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like this fits his style more, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. This song is completely Beatles. This is more of the vibe of like what I would prefer as a songwriter today. Like if I was going to compose and write something, it would be much more in the vein of 1,000 Shades. I love the orchestration. I love the composition. I think the songwriters really knocked it out of the park musically. I think it's gorgeous.
Yeah, agree totally. And one thing that I think you and I and Ryan all three agreed on, you just said it, but I'm going to repeat you. I think Jeff Beck's guitar playing is more memorable in this song than Patient Number 9. Like, he has a little more thrash in Patient Number 9, but his guitar playing in this song is fucking gorgeous, man. It's just beautiful guitar playing. Like you said, the music in general is just so beautiful, and the melodies are just so catchy. Again, very Beatles. I agree with you on everything you said. Absolutely. And I think Watt's bass playing is kind of underappreciated. He's a solid bass player, man. Like, the tracks he plays bass on, I catch myself kind of digging the bass lines. Like, he does not go paint by numbers on his bass playing. He is not afraid to run a scale or something. Like, he's got it there.
I feel like there's a lot of McCartney in his bass playing, to be honest. He does a lot of melody line.
Just that style, the bass, the melody lines.
Yeah,
I agree totally. And, of course, the vocal melodies, as always with Ozzy, are through the fucking roof, right? That's just a given. But no, a great track. And like I said early on, I told you it was my sleeper track of the album. And it has went on to not only be a sleeper track, but just one of the power tracks of the fucking record in time. I think it kind of proved itself out. Of course, losing Jeff Beck in the interim probably helped with that a little bit. Maybe that's why they pushed it forward for another single, just because it did feature Jeff Beck. And, you know, now the world is starting to really appreciate. It takes death sometimes to really appreciate what people bring us. I think Prince is a great example. Like, after Prince died, all of a sudden it's like, oh, he's the greatest ever, you know. I think Jeff Beck's death has brought forward everyone to really realize how amazing of a player he is. And I'm one of those also that took it for granted a little bit. Yeah, I love this track, man. Love everything about it. poppy chorus. Again, very Beatles. I'm like you. I think Ozzy wants these Beatles styles. I think this is what he wants.
100%.
Always from the beginning of his solo career, kind of envisioned for himself as these Beatles-esque sounding tracks. And I think the fact that Andrew Watt can bring them out of him is just fucking gold.
Yeah. I mean, I can't tell you how many times, and everybody knows I'm a fucking gigantic Beatles fan. So I'll listen to the Beatles a lot and I'll hear specifically a Lennon melody. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's exactly where Ozzy's got his influence from. It's all over the place. And you're right. Ozzy does knock it out of the park. It's a very simple song. I don't mean musically. I mean, arrangement wise, no real bridge. It's just a couple of verses, a chorus and a long outro, which is perfect for a pop song and a ballad. I think it's absolutely gorgeous. And Ozzy really sounds incredible.
Yeah, I love it. So that said, do you want to like get into the lyrics and kind of break them down and see what we think about them?
Yeah, definitely. So A Thousand Shades starts with, it's really a cool little topic here. So it starts with this: sitting in yesterday, watching it slip away today. Isolation. Isolation, of course, by the way, is also a John Lennon song. A lot of people might not know that, but every time I hear a little, you know, I see a little Beatles nod in there, I always got to mention it. So
sitting, I didn't realize that. So thank you for, you know, it's like when Dreamer, when, you know, it says, you know, it matches on just a Dreamer and then Ozzy, Dreamer, right? And you kind of relate that. So very cool. I didn't realize that.
And he also says, of course, sitting in yesterday, which of course everybody knows is a Beatles song. So two Beatles references right out of the gate. Sitting in yesterday, watching it slip away today, isolation, fading like photographs, reminding us nothing ever lasts, desolation. Okay, so that's really the verse, because the next part's the pre-chorus. But let's talk about that a little bit, Josh. To me, this is obviously about someone who is looking back fondly on their life, and they're not in a high point at the moment in where they are sitting, right? Sitting in yesterday, watching it slip away. You know, so what?
Watching it slip away.
Yeah, right. You know, it's fading like a photograph, and it's reminding him that nothing ever lasts. So it's obviously somebody looking back on their life fondly, but where they are today might not be where they want to be. And then it says in the pre-chorus, "I look up to the sky, but the sun never shines. I'm waiting." I gotta say, before I move on, that's probably my favorite part of the song. I don't know what it is about it, but I fucking love the pre-chorus. That little end tag at the end of the verses. Ozzy just sounds so good and emotional and vulnerable. I get chills every time I hear it.
Fucking love him, man. I know. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a great lyric, right? I'll look up to the sky, but the sun never shines. I'm a sucker too for that. Sabbath did a lot. Geezer did a shit ton talking about the sun and all that stuff. Yeah. So,
really, and cool. You know, I'm waiting. Like, you know, you see the desperation and you hear the desperation in this voice. I'm waiting.
Right.
So, want things to pick back up.
So the chorus, there's a thousand different shades of darkness coloring our faith. It took me a while to really embrace and understand what that lyric meant. And I think with maybe the last couple of months, it's really hit home. But a thousand different shades of darkness coloring our faith is, I feel like there's a lot of things in your life that can cause upset, could cause negativity in your life. What do you think?
That sounds as good as any. I've kind of wondered myself what exactly that line does mean, but I can go with that.
Yeah, just think about it. There's a thousand different shades of darkness coloring our faith. So,
this happens and that happens and this happens and that happens and it all colors your faith. Yeah.
Right. It's a great lyric.
Great. And then, good analyzation of that.
The past is dead. The future's haunted. What happened to today? And again, on the same theme, right? The past is dead. You know, it's over. The good times are over. Now the future is not looking so good. It might be somebody even waiting to die, maybe.
Yep. That's kind of how I take it for me personally. That's how I've taken it. Waiting for a death. Like, I almost hear it as someone who has a terminal disease. And this could go back to Ozzy's, you know, frustrations with his, not only his Parkinson's, but with his fusion surgeries and stuff. He said before Ordinary Man, he thought he was dying and that they just didn't want to tell him.
Right.
You know, could some of this relate back to those feelings of, I'm just waiting to fucking go? Like,
yeah, I think that's a great point.
That's kind of where I have always related it to. Yeah, for sure.
All right. So the next verse comes back in. Promises built to crash, walking on dreams and broken glass. You know, that's killer line, basically.
That's,
you know,
my favorite line of the song.
Is it?
Yeah.
Awesome. Tell me why, Josh. Why does that one touch you so much?
There's something about walking on dreams of broken glass. Even when we heard this song for the first time at SXM Studios, that line stuck out in my head just instantly. Walking on dreams of broken glass. You know, I don't know, man. There's just something about that that clicks with me. That you got these dreams, but all you're getting is the torture of trying to pursue that and just, you know, trying to push forward, but you just can't push forward. I'm trying to walk forward through this, but all I'm feeling is broken glass under my feet. Like, it's fucking, you know, and that's kind of how I relate it. But as a whole, the line just always stuck out to me. I just think it's very creative.
But don't you think that you and I can really relate to that in our music life?
Walking absolutely under,
yeah, that line couldn't speak more volumes about my non-music career. Right.
I get it. Yeah, but you have this pursuit of something. I think the pursuit in the song is happiness.
Yeah,
but all you feel is the broken glass under your feet, and it's just right. You know, you just can't get there.
All right, so next line is Hell's Creation. Oh, sorry, that kind of finishes that line. Promises built to crash, walking on dreams and broken glass, Hell's Creation. Try to find my escape somewhere where I can hide away. It's also one of my favorite parts of the song. Ozzy really kills that line.
Yeah.
But I love that line too. Try to find my escape somewhere where I can hide away. Desperation. You know, now we're talking about someone that's desperate and doesn't want to face reality and rather be in isolation. And we know people like this that just are going to hide themselves away from the world and from everybody. And they don't want to hear anybody's advice or don't want to heed help or nothing like that.
Yeah, I agree totally.
And then again, pre-chorus, I look up to the sky, but the sun never shines. I'm waiting. And then a great, yeah. And then it's basically chorus out. There's 1,000 different shades of darkness coloring our faith. The past is dead. The future's haunted. What happened to today?
Such a fucking beautiful song. I don't remember for sure, but when we first heard the song at SXM, was this the one that I said made me tear up a little bit?
It is. And then it's also the same one where you said there's no ballads on the album. And then we looked at your notes and you're like, oh, Beatles ballad.
Yeah, I argued Dan for a fucking month. There was no ballads. Then my notes did ballad right on it. Yeah. Fuck off. It did. This song has stuck out from day one for me. I don't know why so much. Just such a beautiful song, man. And this is, like I said earlier, I think Ozzy could put out a whole fucking album of these tracks.
Oh, I would jizz excellent. In my pants if that happened, God damn it.
Yeah, it'd be amazing.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's my preference. I wish Ozzy would do more songs like that. Always. I mean, if you look at the strength of Ordinary Man and Holy for Tonight are two of the best songs of Ozzy's career for me. And I wish, you know, he would continue on that path because that's what he wants to do. And you could hear that emotion.
You can hear it in his voice. There's a passion behind
it. Yeah.
And even from the early on, I kind of related this song with Holy for Tonight. It's like not that they're brother sisters. They're not a brother combo, but just they're similar in style. And I've always kind of related. And again, it goes back to the Beatles thing. They're both just so fucking Beatles-ish that it's just fucking ridiculous.
One of the things I love about this, there's two things in particular that really stand out to me here too. So the last chorus, I love the fact that Ozzy changes up the way he sings Coloring Our Faith just a smidge, because in this world of technology, it's so easy to cut and paste previous choruses. And I just love the fact that Ozzy is re-singing it. You know, I mean, it just adds that extra special, like, you know, he's not playing it safe.
Yep. I was listening to Patient Number 9 today, and there was a track where I can't remember which one now it was, but he changed up the chorus on the last one. It's the same thing and kind of goes up just an octave higher just because of a little bit more push. And I was thinking about that. We had talked about that before. We discussed that, how he didn't lay back on his laurels in this and just let them copy and paste those. He resung them and made that last one that much more passionate. It's kind of like Mom, I'm Coming Home, right? Like the last verse is the best verse. And it's just, you held it for that. It's the fucking way to go, man. You know, but you know, Andrew Watts talked a lot about how Ozzy knows what he's doing in the studio. He knows what he wants. He knows the sound he wants. He knows how to do it. He's a total professional. And, but like Andrew said, he checks his ego at the door, right? He's talked about that a lot. The Ozzy checks his ego at the door and he's willing to work with them and do what's best for the fucking album. You're talking about a guy who's been doing this for 54 years now, and he still serves the song, and that's fucking amazing. And little things like that, he may be too tired, especially in this state of his life, to cut that fucking vocal one more time, but he wants to do what's best for the song, and he goes back in and fucking recuts it and does it even better.
Absolutely. And I think one of my other parts of the song that I love is coming out of the solo. So after that long-ass solo, and there's some really cool breaks in the solo, it really does, and I can't do it because Josh will hum it, but it does. Yes, that's it. I fucking love it, dude. It's how great it. Is it? Yeah,
it's fucking perfect, isn't it?
It's so good. What a transition. Yeah. Hats off to Andrew Watt or whoever came up with it. But fuck, as a songwriter, that gets you going. Like these people that are not paying attention. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it ascends for a second. Then it's a quick descend. It's like, it kind of goes back down real quick.
It's so good. It's fucking awesome. and Ozzy comes back in. That part of the song to me, fuck, it's so good.
Yeah.
It's maybe the highlight of the song.
It's a great fucking song. What a fucking record, dude. Ozzy is 74, and what a fucking fantabulous. I mean, fantabulous. It's so fucking good. I made up a word for it. Fantabulous. What a fantabulous fucking record. Hey, I mean,
that is staying in our vernacular, motherfucker. Fantabulous.
Fantabulous. Dude, people really realize how fucking lucky and blessed we are to have this at this stage of his career. This man has been on death's bed since 2018, and this album won 3 deserving Grammys. And these songs are fucking amazing, dude. Like, how fucking good is this shit?
He really does sound great.
It doesn't sound like Diary of a Madman tone-wise, and it's not that good. It's not as good a record as Diary. Diary, in our minds, is the greatest hard rock album of all time. We both agree on that.
Greatest record of all time.
Well, yeah. Well, for sure. You know, for us. But, like, how fucking good is this shit? Like, we're not this fucking blowhole, and it's so fucking good. And it's like, you know, like Metallica's new, like, I love the new Metallica.
Oh, fuck. And we should have talked about that.
And I'll jam it, you know, and, but at the same time, like, in a year, I really won't listen to it. I'm going to be listening to this record for the rest of my life, and I already know it, you know, along with Ordinary Man.
Yeah, for sure. I couldn't agree more. Now, there are some songs on Ordinary Man that I might not listen to a lot, and we'll get that when we actually do a deep dive on that record. I agree. We'll be listening to those songs forever. And again, even though there's a couple of songs on that record that might not be my favorite, it's still Ozzy. You know, my son will always laugh at me when I'm like, oh, I really don't like that one, but I'll know every word. And it's like, I still fucking love the song.
It's still,
you know,
so, all the fucking time. Yeah.
Right. Like, except, you know,
for those that don't know, Ryan doesn't like Over the Mountain.
Yeah. What the fuck, Ryan? What the
fuck, Ryan?
That is in my top 10. Yes.
Oh, my goodness gracious. You don't even like that drum feel? What the fuck is wrong with you?
It's the greatest opener in music history. Greatest album opener. And Ryan has the balls to say he don't like it. Oh, my God. Make sure you give Ryan shit on that one.
Oh, he's going to love that moment. These albums, you know, you and I have said this before. I'm not sure if we've said it on the show, but Patient Number 9 is just so consistent from every track, just track to track to track. There's no let up. Ordinary Man has the highs and lows. There's really great songs. There's some that aren't as great. I think there might be 2 or 3 songs on Ordinary Man as good as anything on Patient Number 9.
Yep. We talked about this today.
But it has the lows. It has some lows for sure. So,
where would 1,000 Shades fall for you? Ooh, my accent came out there a little bit. My New York accent.
I thought his Kentucky accent was coming out for a minute.
Where did that fall for you, Josh? So, you know, we've been doing it top 4, middle 4, bottom 4.
You know, and I honestly can't remember where I've placed the others that we've already done.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm clueless.
I could tell you. I just know how the whole ranking of my album goes.
So there's 12 tracks.
12 tracks. We don't count.
I'm going to say, for me, 1,000 Shades probably falls at 4 or 5. So I'm going to say middle 4, but it'd probably be the top track in the middle 4.
Okay. So like 5. Okay. Perfect.
And I've probably already done that before, but fuck off.
So make sure you listen to our shows, Josh, you know, forward, maybe not backwards to listen to the messages we put in there, but listen to it forward and get your list going. Cause I know for sure. So, cause at the end, we got to wrap it up with our order. So you got to know that. For me, it's definitely middle 4, strong middle 4. And it's a really solid song, but just doesn't crack the top 4 for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say we're about the same place with it. Yeah. Great fucking track, man. I mean, I'm glad it's doing well as a single also. That's fucking great news, man. You know, seeing Ozzy on the Boneyard, and I know everyone doesn't listen to satellite radio, but, you know, if you live in the States or in Canada, that's like the place to listen to music. You know, you have Ozzy's Boneyard, and you have like Classic Rewind and those channels, whatever. And they'll play like Ozzy songs or whatever. And they'll play, you know, his new ones. But seeing him on Octane, which is the current metal tracks, it's the fucking best feeling, man. And totally excited that this song's cracking the hit list for him, because I think it deserves it. It's a killer track.
No question. So proud of Ozzy and this record, man. We're going to say that a lot, but this is a good one. Anything else before we wrap it up?
I think we're good, man. Anything for you?
No, I just want to say it's great actually seeing that beautiful face of yours. It's been way too long, and I'm so grateful to be back on the air, and I can't wait for our listeners to start interacting with us again. It's something that's, you know, been missing out of my life, and I'm sure, you know, I don't want to speak for you, but I'm sure yours too. So, you know, it's just great to be back again. Thank you guys for being so patient with Josh and I.
So patient number 9 with us. We really appreciate that. I saw you were ready to go there. I could tell you were ready to go there. I could tell. Yeah, we do appreciate it. And then we appreciate you, man. Look, we got to take care of ourselves and do what's best for us. And we promise you guys it will not be 7 months before our next episode. Five at
definitely
max.
Not. Yeah, five
at max. It's fine. So, exactly. Yeah, it is what it is. All right, guys. We appreciate you tuning in, and we're glad to be back. And until next time, we will see you on the other side.
You can't hear my fan, can you?
No.
Okay. I mean, it's 100 degrees out.
You can't hear John snoring back here, can you?
That is we've come so far, dude. Those are the days. I can't believe that.
Oh, he would snore so fucking. I'd be like this on the mic, trying to keep from picking him up.
But I could see him. That was the best part. But I couldn't hear it, thank God. And then you'd be like, God. Dude, do you hear that snoring? I'm like, no. He's like, he's fucking sleeping.
Did you hear what JD from Black Label Society said to him? Because he does his interviews and you see that bed in the background. And JD's like, man, you know what you need to do to get your numbers up, John? He's like, why? He goes, do your show from that fucking bed right there, man. He's like, fucking lay in that bed right there. Just do the show from there. He's like, your numbers go through the roof, dude.
That's and fucking classic.
I rolled when I heard that. Like, I fucking died.
Oh, yeah, for sure.